Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Beth Shield, and I'm so excited to have my favorite guest on, my partner, Randy Brimhall. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here again.
Thanks
I
for
love your podcast, by the way.
Thank you.
A
Of course, you're going to say that.
little biased, but it doesn't matter. I still love it.
What's it been like for you having the podcast coming out, having your episodes come out? Anything you want to share about that?
I think it's been amazing. I've had quite a few people reach out. Some have, benefited from it, and it's I've been able to connect with some old friends, and it's been really amazing.
So today we had talked about before we wanted to do a podcast on triggers in relationships. So I have a whole episode on triggers. Can't remember which number it is, but it's a really great one. So if you haven't listened to that one, go back and listen to that one. But we're specifically talking about triggers in relationship today. And as we were chatting just a little bit ago, well, first of all, I just want to explain again, the simple definition of a trigger is when, a feeling comes up from the past that's triggered by the present moment, right? And so a trigger is a universal human experience. We all have triggers, every single person with the nervous system. And so, like, Randy and I are going to be talking about how we work through triggers in our relationship, but this applies to every single relationship, whether you've been married for a long time or you're navigating something, a relationship after divorce or heartbreak, of whether it's a 2 week relationship or a 20 year relationship.
Doesn't matter.
You hear this all the time, like you are going to trigger the fuck out of your partner. So I think that's the first time I said the F word on the podcast, but I just have to be real, like that is a part of my language.
Yeah,
So
be free.
I'm free. Okay. So we were talking before we hit record about how we didn't know what triggers were in the past in our long-term marriages, right? Because we were never taught that.
No, I had no idea what a trigger was or even that I was triggered.
So it's been really cool to go through everything we've been through and really understand what our triggers are. And also, we should say, I didn't even know what it would be like. I didn't know how triggered I would get in our relationship, thinking I had done all this healing work, like was almost like as healed as I could be on my own. And no one really warned me about this. Not warned me, but do you want to kind of talk about that?
I completely know what you're saying because, you get into this exciting new relationship and then the first thing that comes up, and especially working on yourself and trying to identify like what motivates you or where your self-worth was driven from, in the past. I was also surprised when, we would both get triggered in certain moments. You almost kind of blame, like, oh no, is there something wrong with the relationship? You kind of put it on the present moment. And I'm really amazed at how we both have been able to kind of just slow things down and get to what the trigger really is. And as uncomfortable as triggers are, I've learned to kind of see them as like one of the greatest blessings that can come up, because what I've learned is they're just moments to actually heal deeper at a deeper level, especially from some of the past experiences when you weren't seen or you weren't understood or you weren't heard. And this is a chance to kind of revisit that, childhood version or past version, and to give them what they need. And so now I look at triggers like, hey, what a beautiful lesson.
Yeah. And it's uncomfortable.
And it's very uncomfortable at
So we'll
times.
even be like, we're triggered. What's within me? And I think that's something that's really important. And maybe, couples that are in a longer term marriage that are just learning this work, when you understand that if something within you is triggered, it's absolutely yours, but you blame your partner. you blame your partner for what they did or what they said that caused this trigger within you. And when you can learn, like, oh, any time that something comes up is within me, you go inward, right? And it's not your partner's job to fix it, but to hold the safe space for however you need to work through the trigger. And we're going to talk about how we actually work through triggers.
Yeah, some examples of that, because it's a really tricky thing at times. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be able to stay regulated when someone's triggered and to actually just see it and stay, you know, present and know that it's not about what the current situation really is. Mm-hmm. And some of our examples may tie this in really good. You know, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So we had a couple really big things happen recently, which surprised me because they were triggers within myself that then triggered you. Mm-hmm. You know, but let's just talk about that first one that was a while back. I mean, we've had several, and I think what's funny too is we personally haven't been in like fights, right? Because we're so aware of if something's coming up to like take accountability of like something's going on here. We don't project onto each other. I don't think we ever have because of the work that we've done.
Right.
And so it's you know, the first time you said that you were like, this might be our first fight was when we were playing speed.
Oh yeah. Spoons. Yeah. We're playing spoons.
We're just playing spoons with our kids. This isn't a trigger. This is just a funny story, but playing spoons with all of our kids, and I'm a very competitive person.
I might be a little bit too.
Right. But do you think I'm more competitive?
Absolutely.
I would say I am like funny, like not in, I'm able to like be okay, but I want to win. If I can, then I want to win. So we're with like all of our kids. There's like, you know, 10 of us, yep. And we're all together. And it gets down to two people, and it's Randy and me.
We demolished the kids, by the way.
Yeah. So we were the top two. And it's very intense. Like everyone's surrounding us, and we've got one, you know, one spoon left, and Randy wins. And before we do it though, Randy's like, we're so heated and we're so intense about it. We both want to win so bad. And then Randy's like, I think we might be going to get in our first fight.
Yeah. I was like, kids, you might be witnessing our first fight. Whoever wins this.
It was so funny. And it was so funny because I was like, I really haven't fought, you know, like right. We're not.
We have deep conversation.
And no judgment if you do get in fights. I'm just trying to explain like our process of, you know, managing conflict. And because when you're aware that your stuff is yours, then you don't even have to.
Yeah. And I think the word fighting kind of implies like yelling, screaming at each other. We definitely have very like honest, authentic, hard conversations.
And we have conflict we're working through.
Right. And so we will be able to discuss it, and we can sit and hear each other's side, mm-hmm. and be very careful not to project blame or you did this or you did that. Like,
right.
And so I think sometimes when I hear the word fight, I think people just, I picture people yelling, screaming at each other. And
right. You know. So I think conflict is a better word.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So the first time I ever remember being triggered and kind of going into a freeze was when we were getting ready to move in together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just a lot to pack up your house.
Stressful.
We were doing so much at the time. And we were going to be getting our keys like on a Monday, right? And we were wanting to see if we could move some of the stuff in, like start moving stuff in before the movers and just move it into the garage, right? And you had asked if we could do that.
Yeah, I had conflicting information because I knew the owners who built the house, and both of them were no problem. But when then they came back and changed and said, well, you need to run it by the property management. Mm-hmm. And then the property management said no.
Said absolutely not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we're in that situation. But we're also like, we only have so much time, and it would be so much easier if we could just move stuff in. And I was feeling like behind, and like I was not ready for the movers to come. And so I was expressing that to you. And then you said.
Yeah. So obviously that discomfort. As soon as you got uncomfortable and I could sense your stress, what that triggers inside of me is, oh no, I haven't done enough. I haven't done enough, because typically I've got to over give and do everything to just be loved and accepted, right? That's just from my past that we talked about in the previous episodes. So that triggered inside of me immediately. And so I launched into just my survival pattern of, I can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
I've got an idea. I can fix this, and I can do more, because we couldn't really do more because we couldn't start moving our stuff into the new house.
Right.
And because I had that conflicting evidence, which you had already expressed that you weren't comfortable with doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of bypassed that you felt uncomfortable, and I just launched into my fix it pattern of like, no, it's fine. I'll just move some of the stuff into the garage. It's just in the garage. It's not in the house. And then we can just pull it into the house on Monday, and then we can, you know, bring everything in and just launch it into fix it mode. Mm-hmm. And immediately I sensed like your nervous system go into freeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I felt this tightening in my chest, because I was like, I'm not comfortable with that. And you were like, no, it'll be totally fine. Mm-hmm. Just move it in. No, it's going to be no problem. You know? And so I felt this tightness in my chest and almost like this freeze feeling. And I said, I'm triggered right now. And I didn't even know why or what it was, but all of a sudden it was like, I was kind of in freeze. But I didn't. And when that happens, it's like, there was a part of me that was just like, I want to be by myself, or like, you know, but I was aware of that. Like, I was like, no, this is okay. And do you remember what I said? Did I say anything else?
No, you just went into that, and we just kind of sat in quiet for a minute, just because that's what we do sometimes, to like allow each other to process what mm-hmm. was happening.
Which is extremely uncomfortable.
It's really uncomfortable. And I think not knowing about triggers, or an old version of me who didn't know anything about triggers, would have kind of made it like, I would have tried to fix it even more, or I would have felt like, oh, see, there's not, no matter what I try, I'm never going to be enough. Mm-hmm. Right. Like,
mm-hmm.
But immediately, because I had worked on myself and I knew some of these patterns and everything, so I immediately could see that I went into fix it mode. And so after we were quiet for a little bit, I just said, hey, I actually didn't validate how you feel about moving stuff in early and how that's not comfortable to you. I just completely bypassed you, and I launched into fix it mode. And so I just tried to take accountability for it.
Right. And you did that to try to make me more comfortable.
Right.
But you weren't listening to the fact that I wasn't comfortable doing that at all.
Right.
So when Randy goes to take accountability, so I'm still in freeze. And what's going on, I'm remembering now, what was going on when my was kind of in this freeze triggered, was like, why am I shutting down? I'm going to ruin our day. That day we didn't have our kids, and we were going to go on a hike, and we were going to go to brunch and do, you know, and just have a great day, and then kind of get some more things done. And I was like, I don't want to do any of that. I'm shut down. This is my fault. And so then you start taking accountability, and I couldn't even receive the accountability because I am used to blaming myself.
Right.
And I couldn't see it in that moment because I was still triggered, but I started to feel myself soften when you took accountability and feel more seen and more safe. And then I was able to express to you, like, it felt like you didn't care about what I felt. I felt like you were kind of shutting down my feelings, reminding me of the past.
Right. And that's what I was going to ask. Like, do you mm-hmm. remember what that was reminding you of?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of kind of expressing what would feel good to me, but then just being shut down. And then that was kind of my go-to, was just like, it's not worth it. And it reminded me of when it was unsafe for me in the past.
Like, your feelings never mattered.
My feelings didn't matter. And it's like, I had to be like, is that really true right now here in real time? And it wasn't. So it was old.
Yeah. And then, I mean, we did. We kind of worked through it pretty mm-hmm. effortlessly at that point, and we ended up having an amazing day. And
I came out of it so, like, I was probably in it for what, maybe 20 minutes?
Yeah. And you were kind
of discomfort. And I'm saying, like, sitting with your trigger and just being with it is so, it's difficult, but I allowed it to process. We talked through everything. You took accountability. And I was amazed because in the past, when I've been triggered in past relationships, I could be shut down for the day, for 2 days, and never working through it. And then you just like kind of move on. And then that's why it still was there in my body.
Yeah.
And this is where beautiful healing happens, because you showed me something different.
Yeah. And that trigger had to happen so that you could learn in the present moment that this is different. And that's how that trust starts to build,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why those triggers really are like there to teach us.
Right. You're right. It's a beautiful thing to get triggered.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was kind of the first story we could remember, right? That was pretty profound for us. The next two stories we're going to share happened really recently. And the first one, we are naming the tale of the butter dish. So I had this butter dish, like I brought the butter dish to the relationship. And it's one of those like little, like the lid that you put in it, you open up the lid and the butter's supposed to be in the lid. Like, how do you explain it? Almost like a crock.
Yeah.
Wait, is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
Like a butter crock. And it's the cutest little thing, right? But it was messy. And sometimes it would get like mold in the bottom. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a great butter dish.
Yeah, I think ultimately because you had to kind of set it upside down and there was no flat surface for it. So it would always tip and get buttered on the counter. And all of the kids like would ask, like, we need to get a new butter dish.
Well, and we would say we need a bigger butter dish.
We need a
like,
bigger
this
butter
is just a hassle. You're like, yeah, being so careful when you pull it out. And so we both agreed that we needed a bigger butter dish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, but then like several months go by.
Correct. Yeah. We didn't do anything for several months.
No. We're just managing the annoying butter dish. And it was annoying to clean and all the things. So then one day, Randy gets his Amazon package and he's like, oh, I ordered us a butter dish and it came.
Right? So excited.
So excited for the butter dish. And so he goes and, you know, he proceeds to, this is like a Saturday, right? We have all the kids.
Yeah.
And it's this big wide butter dish with the lid and a little knife and
it says butter on it.
Maybe we should go get it and show it. And so I'm like, oh, that's so nice. You ordered it. I didn't know you were gonna order it. We've been needing that, you know, of course. But then, you know, he's putting the new butter in the butter dish, and I'm like, all of a sudden I like feel this trigger in me. I'm like, so are we just throwing my butter dish away? And you're like, well, we can keep it, you know? And I'm like, no, we're going to throw it away. And so I get my butter dish and I'm like, not angrily or anything, but I throw it in the garbage. And what are you thinking?
I'm thinking like, oh shit. Like, did I do something wrong?
Right. And I'm also like, what is going on in me right now? Like, it didn't feel logical, which that's what triggers do.
Right. And that's when I kind of launched into, I could sense this in you. And then I was trying to bring up, well, we've both talked about getting a new butter dish. And I was trying to like justify.
And then I was saying, I'm like, we never even use the butter dish properly. You're supposed to put the butter in the lid. I started talking about how we hadn't used it properly. And then, but as I'm saying this,
to defend the old butter dish, right?
But even as I'm talking like this, I'm also like, what am I saying right here, right now? I do not care about the old butter dish. And I started judging myself for it. And then you were trying to just make me happy. Right. And so in that moment, I was able to say, like, I'm triggered by this and I don't know why. Like, I wanted a new butter dish.
Right. And I couldn't see why either.
Right.
A lot of times I can kind of see why, but this is one where I was like, I don't know why she's triggered. Like, it was hard to identify this trigger,
And
right?
I wasn't mad
You
or
weren't mad.
shut down.
But I mean, I can see how these do turn into fights about a butter dish. When we tell the rest of the story, you get to really what was underneath all of it. When this could have just turned into like, I could have been like, well, we talked about getting a new butter dish. Why are you getting upset at me? Or, you know, we could have been arguing literally about a butter dish.
Right. And so I was judging myself for how I was feeling because it didn't make logical sense. I wasn't like super triggered, but there was something there. And I knew there was something there, but like at the moment, I didn't have time to figure it out. We were busy that day. And it wasn't like it took me a little bit while, but as soon as later on, I don't know if it was later that day, we were just like resting, you know, I think you were holding me. We were just resting. And I brought it up. I was like, I don't know why I made that big deal about the butter dish. I literally could not stand the old one. I wanted to throw it away, you know? And you were like, it's okay. Like, what do you think it was? Like, and so we kind of started talking through, and then I realized I felt like I was being replaced. And you were like, there it is.
There it is.
And it made so much sense. It was like, what I had wasn't good enough anymore. And so you just bought a new one, replacing it so easily. And that brought up that old feeling for me of how I felt in my past. And it was painful.
Yeah, being replaced. And for me, like at the time, like when it's always the same for me for the most part. Like if in that instance, like you were triggered, then my immediate reaction is like, oh no, I did something wrong. How do I fix this? Right? At all cost, you know, but once we identified that it wasn't about the butter dish and you knew that you felt triggered about something, that's where I get it. I just kind of sit back and I just let you process. And I just don't jump in and be like, well, let's talk about it right now. Like, I know you need time to kind of work through it and talk about it. And you always circle back around like, hey, I think I've kind of figured out what this was. And that's kind of where I love that we've learned to kind of just trust each other in that too.
Right.
You know?
And this is where if something within you is triggered, you know, like I'm still doing my work of not judging it, first of all, because that seems so silly. Why am I acting this way over a butter dish? I don't know. I have no attachment to the old butter dish. We wanted this. Like, what is this? But, you know, I judged a little, but then I was like, there's definitely something more here. Then when I was able to feel that feeling, I was like, and then you to be like, that makes so much sense.
Yeah. And the thing I want to say about what always impresses me with you, because I know that it's hard for a lot of people, is it takes vulnerability to get to the root of the trigger.
Right, because we could have just blown past that.
Yeah, but the fact that you've sat with it and then you opened up what I consider a very vulnerable feeling and moment, that's when the connection for me really starts. Because I can actually see you in that moment and see what is really true underneath the butter dish. And I can have so much compassion and empathy and just see what this is really about and how that must have felt for you.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah, it was really a deep pain to feel. And I didn't ever want to feel that way again. And so, of course, you weren't replacing me.
No, but that fear of being replaced again.
Right. And then seeing the newer, shiny butter dish that, you know, you loved and were excited about. And it's just like, felt like, you know, well, who's to say he's not just going to replace me one day?
Yeah. And that's the fear. That's the trigger, right?
Right. Right. And so I was able to sit with that version of me that felt that. And let her know that she could trust me, that I'm not replaceable.
There it is.
Irreplaceable.
that she's irreplaceable. And I think I was hoping you'd get to that part of the story, because that is the most powerful part of the whole story, is you came to the conclusion that you are irreplaceable.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so freaking beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we joked about how we're going to put new words on the butter dish instead of butter and big words. We're going to put irreplaceable on the butter dish. So I think it's such a beautiful story. And you know, you could also understand exactly what that felt like.
I could absolutely understand it.
And so it was deeper healing for both of us, you know, and say, you know, we don't want this to happen, but if that happens down the road, it's like, if someone is going to choose to not be with me, it has nothing to do with me.
Right.
Right. But that old version of me, it was alone, you know, was so deeply hurt, feeling like, I'll just drop someone else right into my spot. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't even matter.
Yeah. And if we're really getting to it, that's really the root of most of the triggers. Like even that first one we discussed, me launching into trying to fix it was me trying to protect myself so that I couldn't be replaced.
Mm.
If I do enough, if I get things perfect this time.
Mm. You were taking on like, she's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's my job to fix it.
Right.
Which was old.
Same thing, right. Same thing with the butter dish. That mm-hmm. feeling of like, oh no, I'm in trouble. I did something wrong. I better fix this ASAP.
Right.
Or I'm going to be replaced.
Right.
You know.
Right. So that was a beautiful healing experience, and also surprising to have something like, you know, come up a year and a half later into our relationship, this funny little trigger. And we love our new butter dish.
We love it.
So great. So functional.
So
and I have to say, like, when I see it now, I just, it makes me smile. Okay. And I'm not even kidding. I think this was the same week, the second.
I think it was, yeah.
The next story we're going to share. This was like a week of healing, like deep triggers for me and for you.
Yeah.
So where were we? Oh, I was saying the next.
So that's the tale of the butter dish.
That's the tale of the butter dish. And it's been it was such a beautiful like healing thing for us. Mm-hmm. And it's just for other people, like, don't judge your triggers if you can. Be kind to yourself. If you're feeling something and your reaction feels bigger than the moment, it's because there's something really old within you that if you can be vulnerable and really sit with it, the connection on the other side and the healing is so powerful. But that's where I feel like people miss those all the time, because they don't know what it is and they don't know how to sit with it. So thank you for always holding the space. Randy's so incredible at just, you literally never judge me for how I'm feeling or anything that comes up. I'm the one that judges myself.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Of course.
All right. So the next one, the last story we're going to share is literally the same week at the tale of the butter dish. So I was in some deep work that week, getting some really great lessons. Thanks, universe. So it was probably like a few days later. Do you want to tell the story?
Yeah, I'll preface it. I'll preface it because I have to start with going back to kind of my survival patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you did a podcast about Enneagrams. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. But I took the test and I'm a 2, which is basically a helper.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that part of me, but unhealthy part of me, you know, I can overextend. Like I was the guy that never could say no, just doing
people please, overgive
everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that part of me still will come in, you know, especially when there's the fear of abandonment or being replaced comes
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
And cooking, like I do enjoy cooking. But there are some days where I am exhausted and I don't feel like cooking.
Right.
The other part of the story is, well, do you want me to tell that part of the story about the gaining weight? Like,
Sure, why not?
okay.
Also, I want to say I manifested a man that loves to cook and that doesn't care that I don't love to cook and loves to cook for me. With that being said, it doesn't mean that I had that have that expectation of you all the time.
Right, and you never have put that expectation
Right.
out there,
Okay. So yeah, go ahead and this will be real.
Yeah, so the other part of the story is, I do cook, and I'll also, if I'm don't feel like cooking, I'll recommend that we eat out. And Beth has always been a healthy eater and fitness conscious, and she claims that she had put on a few pounds, and jokingly,
Since I started dating you.
that it was my fault because we have since we've been together, basically,
Because he feeds me all the
because I
time.
feed
Of
her.
course it's his fault.
And I know when she said it jokingly, but I think subconsciously I kind of took that on. Like, oh man, I don't want to be the cause of anything. I don't want to be a burden. I don't want, And I didn't realize I took it on until this moment, But it was a day where we came, where dinner was approaching. I think it was just us two home, right?
Yeah, we didn't have the kids.
Yeah. And I think I had a long day at work and was tired and I didn't feel like cooking. Which we had planned some chicken and some other stuff, some healthier food. And instead of actually being honest and saying, "Hey, I don't feel like cooking tonight," I suggested that I didn't suggest, I asked her, I said, "Well, do you want to cook the chicken tonight?" And I laughed. And the reason why I said it was, and obviously, it's because A, there was that part of me that was afraid that if I don't feel like doing it, that I'm not doing enough. And the other part of me is like, well, if I suggest eating out, then there's that part of me that's like, well, if she gained a couple pounds, then it's my fault as well. So I'm kind of in a dilemma here.
Right. So
So
all this is running through your mind in like 5 seconds.
in like 5 seconds, and it happens so quick, right? And you don't realize it's happening in the moment because what just came out of my mouth, instead of being honest and saying, "Hey, I'm really exhausted tonight. I don't feel like cooking. What are our options?" I was hoping that if I asked if you wanted to cook the chicken, that you would say yes, then we would eat something healthier. And then I wouldn't have to feel that discomfort of like, oh no, I'm not doing enough. Right.
And you didn't want to abandon yourself by cooking when you were too exhausted.
Right. And then I didn't want to just abandon myself and just keep quiet and not say anything, which is what I would have done in the past and just muscled through it and been like, I'm just going to do it. And then that's how silent resentment starts to build, right?
Right. And for me, like you're just like, I'm so exhausted, I don't feel like cooking. I'd be like, I don't blame you. I think I did say that. I don't blame you for being too exhausted. I'm exhausted too. I had had a full work day. And so I was just like, we'll order something. Like, but that's what I was gonna say. But then when you were like, do you want to cook the chicken?
Which you didn't expect me to ask you to cook the
Right.
chicken.
Well, then I felt bad because I felt like you always cook. But I also felt very unseen because, like, when have you ever seen me cook chicken before? Like, do you even know me? So, okay, so the trigger comes in. Well, also, I want to say the night before, this was a Tuesday, Monday night, you had grilled steaks and sweet potatoes and salad. And our 16-year-old daughter, Ava, happened to be, she ate dinner with us. And it was like, you made this beautiful dinner. And it was so nice and so delicious and so healthy. And I was so grateful. And then, when you were like, I don't want to cook it, do you want to cook the chicken? I felt like that was you saying, like, it's your turn. I literally just made it. You didn't say any of this, but this was going through my head. You should take a turn. And I felt like you had every right to feel that way. I wouldn't want to be cooking all the time. But then I don't ever make chicken, babe. Like, I make other things. It's not like I never cook. I want to also say sometimes I do. But we were laughing about it at first because I was like, when have you ever seen me cook chicken? We're laughing. And then all of a sudden, I feel the trigger. And so we're laughing, and then I feel the trigger, and then I remember you looked at me, and you're like, oh my gosh, you're triggered. Like,
you're triggered.
Oh my gosh, sweetheart, you're triggered. Like, you said it in the cutest, the sweetest way, and I was like, no, like, I did not want to be triggered over this. This was so dumb, right? And we were standing there in the kitchen across from each other, and I was like, I totally am. And this feels so silly, but like, this is a big one for me. And I think I did tell you, like, I have no expectation ever for you to cook for me.
Right. You know? And I know that.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, and so you were also triggered. Mm-hmm.
I was triggered before the conversation started. I was letting old patterns and survival kind of take over.
Right. And this is the beautiful part. We both realize we're triggered. Mine feels pretty deep. And I just, at that moment, I needed space to figure out why I was so triggered by this. Like, I told you, I'm not mad. I'm really triggered. And I need to, like, I wanted to go move my body. So I'm like, I'm going to go to the gym and figure out what this is. And how did that feel for you?
So same. I mean, thankfully, I've done the work. We've been through this. It's one of those things where it's like, I'm in trouble again. You know, that's just kind of my own thing. You know, it's just
so
like,
that thought came in.
Yeah, that thought came in. But ultimately, I'm able to kind of just sit with that feeling and know what's true in this present moment. Because I know in that moment, it's like there's something underneath cooking chicken right now for both of us.
Right. It's not about the chicken.
It's not about the chicken.
Just like it wasn't about the butter dish.
Right. So I was able to just sit with it. And you went to the gym. And, you know, in the past, I think my anxiety of like needing to fix it, you know, like I would have been like, I'm so sorry, like texting you. But I just gave you space. Mm-hmm. I just stayed grounded in where I was at. And I was just going to wait till, you know, you came back. And if you felt like talking it through, I was going to be there to support you. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. So you honored my need too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I want to express. That's super important. It's okay to take space from each other. Like the few examples we've given, we've worked through the triggers in a different way. The first time I was able to be with you and work through it in real time. Second time, it was less serious, right? We worked through it later. This time, I needed some space to process. And that doesn't mean that I'm punishing you or that, but it's also beautiful that I was able to express to you.
Right.
I'm not upset. I'm not mad. I just need some alone time.
Well, that's what I love too, is you don't just storm out and, you know, give the silent treatment or the cold shoulder. You communicate like how you're feeling, even though you don't know what it is truly about yet. And that is how that safety is created reciprocally, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, I see you're triggered. I'm right here. And you're like, you're not in trouble, but I do need space to go process. Mm-hmm. And that safety is what kind of fosters that ability to kind of stay grounded within each other. And
yeah. And I felt it feels really good. I'm still getting used to being so honored in what I need.
Yeah.
Not being in trouble, not, you know, like that's just a really beautiful thing that's this relationship has provided me. So I go to the gym and I want to be really real with what can happen with triggers, like the parts that can hijack us when we're triggered. So I have this part of me. She's my hyper independent protective part. And she was coming in hot and I was triggered, right? And this part of me, like, well, what happened was, is the part of me that feels like she's not enough because she doesn't cook and has received so much from you. And then when you were like, do you want to cook it? Like, to me, I took it as like, you can take a turn and cook the chicken. Like, you wanted me to be someone who that I wasn't, which isn't true. But this part of me was like, why, like, it's so much, why, I never wanted you to do anything for me again, this part of me.
Right.
I don't want to receive. I don't need anything from anyone. I can take care of myself. Like, he thought that I, you know, care, like, expected him to cook for me, and I don't expect anything from him. Like, it was like this part of me was, you know, but what the beautiful thing about this is, I was aware of what part was coming in.
Yeah.
It wasn't the me today, but she needed to say all these things to me. Right. And but in real time, I was like, I'm never letting him do anything for me again. I don't need anything from him. You know?
Yeah.
But I'm giving this example because if I wasn't conscious, you know, and I also thought, like, maybe he really does want someone that cooks for him, and he has every right to want that. I manifested that for myself.
Right. Well, that's what I want to get you to get to, is the core fear of what was coming in.
Right. Was that you actually didn't love and accept me for who I am.
Right. And that fear had come in the past a couple of times, like, are you sure you don't want a wife that cooks for you? And, you know, some old stories, and just like your self-worth being like, well, you know,
yeah,
I need to be in the kitchen and cook. Like,
right. And he's just flipping the script on me. He's changing his mind. He doesn't actually want me for who I am. So what am I going to do? I'm going to hightail it out of here before he rejects me and replaces me.
Right. See how it goes back to that again.
Yeah. So I listened to this part, you know, I realized what was going on. You know, I gave myself the time that I needed and to kind of process through. And then I came home. And it's not like I felt better when I came home. I felt like better as far as like having the space to realize and like letting the parts come in and stuff. But I still, you know, we talked through. And do you remember and how was that for you? Like me being gone and then coming back.
Yeah, and this is where coming back together and actually getting vulnerable with what is really coming in. Because when you left to the gym, we still didn't know really what the big trigger was. I was still trying to sit with what I was triggered about and why I was like, do you want to cook the chicken? I didn't fully understand what was happening in the moment. So when you were gone, I was able to sit and process, like, what was that? Where is that coming from at a deeper level? What is the fear behind me not wanting to cook? And then all of a sudden I was able to kind of feel those parts, like, well, you better like cook, you better do everything, because if not, then you're going to be replaced. And you better not suggest eating out something unhealthy, because if she gains a few pounds, she's going to be mad at you and you're going to be replaced, right? It's all down to this.
You took on so much.
I did. And we don't realize that in the moment. And this is kind of what I've seen too. And I love that we took space, because sometimes trying to figure out what the trigger is with each other while you're both triggered can really escalate things.
Right. And that can be hard for someone who's like used to being the fixer and just wants to talk through it now. Like,
let's just talk about it now.
And I think a lot of couples do that, where it's like,
I've seen it.
Yeah. Like, let's talk about it through it right now. And what you're not doing is you're not honoring someone else's capacity to talk through it. And when you're in a dysregulated state, you can't work through things.
And that's the whole point. That's what I was saying. Like, when you're fully dysregulated, and that space is so important. And when we did come back together again, I love your courage in getting vulnerable when you kind of start to explain what the trigger really is about, and what you heard in that scenario wasn't what I was saying.
Right. And you thinking that it was your job to feed me healthy food was not your job.
Right.
You know?
So again, coming back together, being able to be vulnerable and honest and transparent about what was really going on underneath cooking chicken, it really does create that sense of deeper connection and understanding of each other, of what's really happening.
Right. And that's been my favorite part of working through triggers together, is the deeper connection, emotional intimacy on the other side of that, and not taking it personally.
Right.
When we're triggered by something, like, we literally, like, when I'm like, I know this is mine. Whatever is activated in me is mine to work through. And then you just hold the space, and the same in return.
Right.
But we're not fixing it for each other. We're just providing safety for each other to be able to work through what's ours. And validation and love and all the things, right? So
Yeah, and I would say that that is one of the biggest key components of working through triggers is being able to get honest and real with what is really coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at first I wasn't honest about how I was really feeling in that moment. And it escalates this, you know, escalated into this deep trigger. But on the other side of that, when we actually talked about it and we were honest about what was coming in on both sides, yeah, I love that deep connection and understanding.
Yeah. And it's just, it's like you never know when something's going to get activated in you. Like you can't control it. And, you know, I and of course we've had lots of triggers along the way. But these recent ones have been surprising to me because they seem like funny, like silly, but really it's so amazing because that stuff was in us and we got to heal it. Right. And so this is where it's like, if you can open up to the possibility of welcoming the triggers, allowing yourself to feel it, I think first of all, just acknowledging the trigger. Oh, I'm triggered. I wonder what's going on inside of me. And then what do I need right now to work through this? Do I need space? Do I need to communicate that I need space? Just really communicating with each other. And then the other partner, not taking it personally or that it's a problem. So many, I feel like partners or, you know, in marriages or whatever, they want it, like you did the first story, you want to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
You go into fix it mode and that completely invalidates the other person. So I'm just trying to give like a few tangible things for people to work so they can maybe break some patterns of how they manage triggers, conflicts. Is there anything else you would like add to that?
No, I think you nailed it on the head and it does take practice. And the thing that I would say is to have compassion as you're working through triggers, because it's going to be messy as you're learning to manage these things differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like even us, we're still working through it. Like that chicken story, like I didn't manage it perfectly. Old beliefs and patterns came cycling in and that part of me needed to know that, hey, you are safe and loved for who you are, not for what you do.
Right.
And it's not just by you, but it's by me, because I know how much I do and I know, and it taught me that I need to have compassion for myself when I'm tired and allow myself to have some rest and that
you're so deserving of that
and that I'm still safe.
Regardless. And you're with a partner that wants you to always honor what feels good to you.
Right. So yeah, I would say have compassion, and I love your kind of the technique that you spelled out is a lot of times if you can name that you're triggered, it can kind of put things in pause for a minute to slow down and then name the emotion that you're having with it. And then asking yourself, what do I need in this moment? And that's what I feel like we've gotten so good too. It's like the more that we've practiced through this, it's like when I see that you're triggered, I'll almost automatically ask you, or you'll ask me, like, what do you need right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need space? We'll offer it to each other. Like, what do you need? Do you need to talk about this right now? And then we honor those needs.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's so beautiful. And so that's, I think, the biggest takeaway, I think, for people is like recognizing the trigger, taking space. That will help you so much with like the way you manage the conflict. And I think what you said too was important too. You had to go back to that old version of you and let him know that it's safe now. So that's what we want to do. What did this bring up from the past? And go back to that version and feel the depth of the pain of whatever that version was caused. Right? Because I think we also bypass the pain. And so I think, you know, the more deeply we get into our relationship, the deeper pain can come up because it's safe now.
Yeah.
And so as we're talking through it now, I'm like, of course, this was later down the road.
Right.
That pain was really deep.
It's very deep.
Mm-hmm. And so we want to validate the pain.
Yeah.
And then create safety, letting that part know It's different now.
Yeah, and create space to actually feel that emotion.
Right.
Don't rush through it.
Right. You're not trying to get rid of it. Yeah. You're just trying to create more space for you to actually feel what's there. Mm. That was old. That old trigger, like that was pushed down in the body. It stayed there. So that's why when triggers come up, it's like, oh, now we have opportunity for healing.
And that's everything right there. The deeper opportunity for healing and love and connection.
Mm-hmm. So you can even say that. I know on the other side of this is going to be more connection with my partner. And it is every single time for us.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, I wish that wouldn't have happened. Right? It's like, oh, like we're so much, I just feel so much closer to you when we vulnerably share what came up. And so thanks for being safe.
Thank you. Honestly, it's been so amazing to work through all these things together and grow together. And yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's it. Shared some stories. So curious what this might have brought up for anyone listening. Like, even if it's just a tiny little shift in how you manage this with your relationship, being able to just slow it down a little bit, maybe even validate, oh, it makes sense why you're triggered right now, or I'm here when you're ready to talk about what's coming up for you, instead of taking it personally, you know. And that's how you break patterns. And I think, you know, it's so important to have compassion too when you do repeat things, or when you aren't able to get regulated, or you show up differently. It's just taking that accountability. And then if you both want to communicate better, that's all you need. It's the first step of like, this, we want to do things different.
That's everything, is the way we communicate with each other. And a lot of that takes a shift in your perspective. You know, a lot of, and I'm guilty of it too, it kind of starts to become me versus you. But when it becomes me and you versus the problem, now we're teammates.
Right.
Right. And then that's what creates that deeper understanding. And I get to know you on such a deeper level.
Yeah.
And I think you hitting that nail on the head about communication, it's not just communicating, but it's how we communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Okay, so if this resonated with you and you're listening to this, please share it. Share it with anyone you think would help, but especially your partner. I think, what do we all want in our relationships? We want more emotional intimacy, physical intimacy, safety, connection. Like, I think everyone can say that they would love to have more of that in the relationship. And it starts with understanding your own emotions and triggers in the relationship. And so share this, subscribe to the podcast if you can. It really, and give it, if you can give me a review, that would be amazing. It really helps the show get to more people who need this work. So thanks for being here, babe.
Thank you for having me again.
Just the best. And we'll see everybody in the next episode.